We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 2, The Ecstatic Manifestations of Lord Chaitanya. Text 31. Do we read 30 also? Someone told me.
Yeah, 30 and 31.
Text 30, I'll just read. My dear friends, please hear me. I have lost all providential strength. Without Krishna, my body, consciousness, and mind, as well as all my senses, are useless. Text 31. Topics about Krishna are like waves of nectar. If such nectar does not enter one's ear, the ear is no better than the hole of a damaged conch shell. Such an ear is created for no purpose. Purport. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes the following verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 3, Text 17 to 24. Ayo hariti vai punsam ujjannastam chayannaso tasyate yatshano nita utamashloka bhartaya taravam kim na jivanti vastra kim na svasantyuta nakadhanti namehanti kingrame pashavo pare savit varahoshtra karai samstuta purusha pashu Nayat karna pato peto jatu nama gadagraja bile pato rukrama vikramanye nashinvata karna kute narasya javasati dar durikeva suta na chopagayat yurugaya gata. Bharaparam patta kerita jistam apyutta mangam Nanamen Mukundam Shavau Karau Nau Gurute Sapayam Harela Sakanchana Kankanau Va Vahayate Te Nayane Naranam Lingani Vishnur Nanarikshito Ye Padau Ninam Tau Druma Janma Bhajo Shaitrani Nanu Vrajato Hareyo Javanchavo Bhagavatangri Renum Najatu Markyo Bilapeta Yastu Si Vishnu Padja Manujas Tulasya Swasan Chavo Yas Tu Naveda Gandam Tarashma Sadam Hridayam Patedam Yad Grihyamanai Harinama Dehai Navikriye Tata Yadavakado Neche Jalam Gatra Raheshu Harsha. Translations. Both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. Do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. One who has not listened to the messages about the prowess and marvelous acts of the personality of Godhead, and has not sung or chanted loudly the worldly songs about the Lord, should be considered to possess ears like the holes of snakes and a tongue like that of a frog. Your proportion of the body, though crowned with a silk turban, is only a heavy burden if not bowed down before the personality of Godhead, who can award mukti, freedom. And the hands, though decorated with glittering bangles, are like those of a dead man if not engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead, Hari. The eyes, which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, his forms, names, qualities, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of a peacock, and the legs, which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered, are considered to be like tree trunks. The person who has not at any time received upon his head the dust from the feet of a pure devotee of the Lord is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the flavor of the tulasi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Certainly, that heart is steel framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change and feel ecstasy, at which time tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. Om Gyan Chimanandasya Gananjana Shvaya Chakshur Vritamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In this holy association, we are hearing the out-of-this-world nectar of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in that unlimited ocean of nectar known as Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you are getting a synopsis of the Ancha Leela, the final 12 years of Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this world. During his stay in Jagannath Puri, you're getting a synopsis of that in the Majja Leela, because the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, was in physically such an old and delicate condition, he did not know whether he would live to finish presenting all that he had memorized from the notes of Srup Damodar and Raghunath Das. So therefore he gave you a synopsis of the Ancha Leela. Of course, he did go on to write the Ancha Leela. This is mercy, compassion, care. Just like Srila Prabhupada was thinking, he might not be around to get to the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. So he gave us Krishna book. Krishna book, Krishna the Supreme Personality of God. It is Bhagavatam. It's a summary study. And so therefore, Srila Prabhupada had the freedom to interject the philosophy wherever he wanted. It's not like a straight conservative translation. It's the presentation of Krishna's pastimes couched in exhaustive philosophical understanding for our benefit. So much so that you can distribute a Krishna book to anyone and they'll not misunderstand Krishna's pastimes, even though all the confidential leelas of the 10th canto are there. This is an extraordinary literary achievement. How to present even the 5 chapters in 10th canto about Krishna's dancing with the gopis, Rasalila, how to present that in a book that is that persons who know nothing about Krishna consciousness are going to read. And at the same time, how to write a book that the most advanced devotees can relish. This is Srila Prabhupada's incredible genius. As he explained, everything is there in his books for all levels of spiritual advancement. That means as you progress in bhakti, you're going to find things in his books that you never saw before. Simply because your consciousness has become more purified. There are so many, there are unlimited hidden gems in the books. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada explained that you don't have enough years in your life to get to the bottom of the information in his books. I like to explain that sometimes I've noticed amongst devotees that you get to a point where you think, well, I've read all the books, all of Prabhupada's books, I've read the Bhagavatam a few times, Chaitanya Charitamrita, well, once is enough for that. Nectar devotion, yeah, a couple of times, you know, skipped over the second half. Who can understand that? Shri Shopanishad, yeah, study that as a new bhakta. It's a basic text. text. Nectar of instruction, yeah. Aside from those heavy verses in the beginning, nectar of instruction, you know, it's kind of sweet. So now that I have mastered all the books, I mean, not mastered, but, you know, just got into them enough that's, you know, suitable for Krishna consciousness, now I can look forward to something else. My advice is that when you start to feel like that, rebel against this feeling. Take it as a challenge. It is the material energy, or shall we say our material conditioning, the same thing, which is trying to present a version of Srila Prabhupada's books that causes you to think, you know, there's no more thrill there, there's no more novelty, there's nothing new. Can you remember the excitement you had when you first read Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Krishna book, and you never knew all the leelas before, how excited you were? But that same excitement is always there. Just look at Bhagavad Gita, at the end of Bhagavad Gita. The conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, it gives a thrill every moment. That's what Bhagavad Gita says. Hairs are standing on end hearing the conversation. A thrill every moment. Can you conceptualize that? A thrill every moment? Generally, if you get one thrill in your lifetime, you consider yourself very fortunate. A thrill every moment? That is what the hearing of Bhagavad Gita will bring. So this feeling of familiarity, that's the word I was looking for, familiarity. Like in a mundane relationship. You know, when you, whatever kind of relationship it is, friendship or romantic, whatever, sooner or later the buzz wears off and everything becomes quite ordinary. We've explained before how scientists have calculated the world average for the duration of romantic feelings. In case any of you are inclined to do it. The world average for the duration of romantic feelings is 17 months. For the first 17 months, you're flying. Every word out of the beloved's mouth seems so new and fresh. You seem to have contacted You seem to have contacted an unlimited ocean of nectar. Delightfully unpredictable. And then after 17 months, on an average, you come back down to earth and the reality hits you. So we may approach Srila Prabhupada's books like that. We had our love affair, and now I've read them all, and so let's move on. Let's try to find something else. When you get that feeling, rebel against it, and you'll find you'll be able to go deeper. You'll be able to see newer insights just by not taking seriously this feeling of familiarity. Know that that feeling is brought about by the illusory energy. It's our material conditioning. I've heard that leela before. Oh, I've heard that verse before. Just like I was noticing in this extensive purport in which Srila Prabhupada is quoting from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, there are seven verses from the second canto of Bhagavatam quoted. All the Sanskrit is there, the English is there. Now, at least in the early days of ISKCON, any new devotee knew all these verses, these seven verses from the Bhagavatam. Because back then, there were only a few cantos of Bhagavatam out at the most. And these were known to be key verses because Prabhupada would always quote them in his lecture. So any new devotee knew all seven of these verses about how the different ways you're considered to be a dead person because your senses aren't engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So I was just thinking, as I was reading these verses to you, I could think, well, let's skip the Sanskrit they're not going to tune into it anyway. But actually, Srila Prabhupada explained that even if you don't know the meaning of the Sanskrit, the sound vibration is pure, and it'll purify you. Secondly, we could say that, okay, the English translations, second canto, it's only the second canto. We've all progressed so far beyond that. Really? Just take one verse. Ayur hadati vai pum sam ujjanastan chayanaso tasyate yachano nita ujjamasloka vartaya. The sun rising and setting. A beautiful thing, yes. But that sun is letting you know something very crucial. Your lifespan is being diminished. So while you're mesmerized by the beauty of the rising and setting sun, you should know that the sun is letting you know you're being robbed. You might think, well, this is kind of a negative thought. You know? When I see a beautiful sunrise, I want to feel enthralled, you know? The natural material tendency when you're in some beautiful part of nature is to immediately think, I read this in Bhagavad. The natural tendency is to immediately think, here's a great place for sense gratification. That's a natural tendency. Watch it. Try it. You'll see it. This is a great place for my pastimes. That shows you the conditioning. Of course, through devotional service, that feeling will change, that mentality will change, and whenever you see a beautiful place in nature, you'll think, this is a great place to do something for Krishna, a great place for a temple, a great place for a preaching program. So this way, the lust transforms to love through the medium of devotional service. Without that medium of devotional service, how are you going to transform those conditioned feelings? Are you just going to bottle them up and repress them? No. No. Can't think like that. No. Yes. No. Maybe. No. Not now, but maybe next year. That is not the bhakti process. The bhakti process is learning to lust to use everything in Krishna's service. Otherwise, if you just become mesmerized by the beauty of the sunrise and the sunset, you've missed the point, as Shukadeva Goswami is so kindly pointing out. The sunrise and the sunset is showing you your life is becoming shorter. You can die any moment. What are you going to do about that? So please, the next time you see the sunrise and sunset, can you do that in London or class?
Watch it rise over center point.
Anyway, the passing days and nights with the clouds in the sky will let you know that your life is being diminished. That is a meditation. That is a bona fide, legitimate meditation. People like to talk about meditation, mainly to relieve stress and anxiety. So Shukadeva is giving you a meditation. How to look at nature and be inspired in your Krishna consciousness. We are in the midst of Lord Chaitanya revealing his feelings of separation. That's his main activity in the last 12 years of his stay in this world in Jagannath Puri. He demonstrated the symptoms of ecstatic love of God that are rarely seen in this world. All the symptoms are described in Nectar Devotion, but they're rarely seen. Lord Chaitanya demonstrated all of these rare symptoms. At night, he wouldn't sleep. He would stay up all night feeling separation from Krishna because he is Krishna in the role of Srimati Radharani. And his two dearest or closest associates, Ramananda Roy and Subhadevananda, they would try to console him by Ramananda Roy's quoting appropriate verses to match the mood of Lord Chaitanya, and Subhadevananda singing appropriate songs. Earlier in this chapter, you have Lord Chaitanya reciting verses that are quoted in Raman de Roy's Jagannath Ballabha Natak. So, night was separation. And during the day, when Lord Chaitanya would go visit Lord Jagannath in the temple, that's meeting Krishna. So that's the Sambhoga. At night's the Vipralamba. Lord Chaitanya would go to the Jagannath temple in the mood of Srimati Radharani going to Kurukshetra with the other gopis and residents of Vrindavan to see Krishna. So when Lord Chaitanya would enter the temple of Jagannath Puri and see Jagannath, he's seeing Brajendranandana. Kaviraj Goswami points that out in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's seeing Sakshad Brajendranandana, directly Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. If he comes out of his deepest ecstatic trance, then he sees Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. And he starts to lament, "Oh, here I am at Kurukshetra. Krishna's here, but this is not the place for us." So this is the way Lord Chaitanya's Leela, his Anchalila, goes on. Vipralamba Seva, intense feelings of separation at night. Then during the day, because his associates were up and about, their sangha, their association would temper his intense feelings of separation, which actually can't be described in words. And then he would go to the Jagannath Mandir, in the mood of meeting Krishna. So this went on for 12 years. In this way, Lord Chaitanya is showing the pinnacle of spiritual development. Mundane scholars, what can they understand even about the mundane world? What to speak of trying to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Often they make comments like, Lord Chaitanya, they don't call him Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya was a great social reformer. He did wonders in terms of social equality, breaking down the caste system. He did wonders in terms of spreading religiosity, reviving Dharma. He did wonders in terms of showing what is the pure standard of religious practice. It's just those last 12 years of his life, he really lost the plot. That's what they say. He obviously, in the last 12 years, entered a phase of mental derangement. And so he kind of blew his whole spiritual leadership of the bhakti movement. he just went off, over the deep end, But the first portion of his life was glorious. Social reformation, class equality, holding morality. But then, the last 12 years, and all these crazy behavior, they can't understand it. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami always points that out in Chaitanya Charitamrita. A mundane person can't understand Lord Chaitanya. The greatest scholar cannot understand Lord Chaitanya. These feelings of separation seem so painful. They seem negative, destructive. Therefore, a neophyte or a mundane person can't understand how you're dealing with the topmost level of ecstatic love of Krishna. Indeed, they are destructive from one point of view. In Nectar Devotion, the summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami calls these symptoms vyabhichari, destructive symptoms. There are 33 of them, a long list of them. Things like envy, anxiety, impatience, impudence. These things are normally negative in material existence, but they have a role in the topmost exhibition of ecstatic love of Krishna. So there are 33 destructive symptoms combined with 8, the ashtasattvika, tears flowing from the eyes, trembling, hair standing on end, perspiring. That makes 41 primary symptoms of ecstatic love. But do note that 33 of them are symptoms that you would consider to be negative and unwanted. Who wants, no purified person wants to be envious or impudent or even one of them is listed as violence. But in separation from Krishna, all these symptoms have their perfect place. They're expressing different feelings of the heart. So when you think of ecstatic symptoms as described by Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion, you have to think of the heart and its feelings. And because of the acute separation from Krishna, the feelings, the pure feelings of the pure heart manifest in these destructive ways, apparently destructive, but of course actually is all the perfection of constructiveness because it's all perfectly in relation to Krishna. As you go about your years of service, nectar devotion will mean more and more to you. Whatever you do, I advise you, don't take your present state of consciousness as all in all. Okay, I've read Nectar Devotion, yeah. Well, I've gotten out of it, when I'm going to get out of it, I guess that's it. Now, Srila Prabhupada's instructions in reading Nectar Devotion, where all these symptoms that Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating are analyzed, his instructions for reading Nectar Devotion are, you just read it every day, and gradually, as the years of devotional service roll by, you'll go deeper and deeper, and you'll be able to see more and more. And I like to explain, he always cautioned about nectar devotion, because so much of it is beyond your present range of consciousness. So whenever you get to a sentence that you don't understand, in other words, there's going to be heaps of sentences you don't understand, don't, Prabhupada, what is this? Prabhupada, what is that? Just go on reading and serving. And gradually, prakashante mahatmana, the realizations will dawn in you. And he was absolutely confident of that, and those are his instructions for reading Nectar of Devotion. In fact, Srila Prabhupada was so confident about reading our reading Nectar of Devotion that he said, even if you perform devotional service mechanically, if you just go about that every day and read a little bit of Nectar Devotion every day, automatically you'll come to the Raga platform. You'll come to the platform of spontaneous love. Even if you're performing devotional service mechanically. I gotta do this because the temple commander told me I have to do it. If I don't do it, you know, the temple president will ask me, what am I doing here? I'm not ready yet to go get my own flat. It's kind of expensive. So it's better to, you know, better to tolerate the scene here for a little while longer, you know. Who knows, I might bump into someone I want to marry. And but even if you perform devotional service with that mentality, day after day after day, and you stick to it, and you're reading Nectar Devotion every day, Joe Robert said, you will develop raga, spontaneous love of Krishna. That's how powerful the program is that we're doing. But sometimes we take it for granted. Oh, it's so simple, you know. Every day a temple program and devotional service, and you've got to find persons to do the service, and someone's going to ask you to do service, and you know, the question is going to be, how much service can you do? And on and on this is going to go. Yes, eternally. Yeah. When you go to Goloka Vrindavan, someone will be recruiting you there for service. This is needed for Krishna's pastimes. That is needed. Just like when Krishna and the cowherd boys are wandering in the forest of Vrindavan, they've been sporting, stealing each other's lunch bags, racing to see who's the first one to touch Krishna. And sometimes Krishna goes off alone to explore a portion of the forest, we explained last night, and then the cowherd boys become so morose. Indeed, in Nectar Devotion, in the section about the Vyabhichari, the 33 symptoms of destructive ecstasy, there's one section where it explains that Krishna disappeared for a while from the cowherd boys, and the cowherd boys became like in a death-like situation. Their bodies show the symptoms of losing all life. Their faces darken completely. Their complexion is dried up. In that condition, they thought, you know, this is the end of the world. And then when Krishna appeared again, all their luster immediately came back. The life came back to their bodies. So this is going on in the forest of Vrindavan. after sporting in this way and then taking prasad. Sometimes they bring breakfast from home. Sometimes they arrange breakfast in the forest. And they're always decorating their bodies with forest minerals, just like you see young people today. You know, they like to have the tattoos. So just decorating the body is also done in Goloka Vrindavan. They use the forest minerals and the peacock feathers and flowers and leaves. Combining that with the ornaments that their mothers put on their bodies before they left the village to go to the forest. So these are the activities of the gopas in the forest. Sanatana Goswami describes how when it's lunchtime, Krishna himself can serve all the countless cowherd boys. He'll go from cowherd boy to cowherd boy, putting something on the cowherd boy's plate. And as Krishna goes up and down the aisles, and the aisles, I mean, countless cowherd boys, he's appearing to be dancing as he goes from plate to plate serving. It's a beautiful sight. The cowherd boys want to offer Krishna the best. So they taste their food to find out what's the best preparation my mother made for me. I want to offer that to Krishna. So they quickly taste all the preparations on their plate. This is the best. So when Krishna comes to serve them, they pop the best preparation in Krishna's mouth. And then Krishna makes a wry face, like, and everyone laughs. So Krishna is dancing up and down the aisles of cowherd boys as he's serving. And they're popping the best preparations in his mouth. He's making wry faces. This is the scene of the cowherd boys in Vrindavan. Such a beautiful scene that even Brahma became bewildered by it. This is so beautiful. This is so intimate. Can this really be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I know that there's Krishna. Can this be Krishna? Showing such domination by his friends, such camaraderie. So, after lunch, it's time to rest. And often in the Vrindavan forest, Vrindadevi has arranged nice soft beds for Krishna, made of twigs and leaves. So Krishna lays down on these soft, natural beds underneath a big tree, and he puts his head on the lap of Sridhama, his intimate friend. Sridhama is the brother of Srimati Radharani, so therefore he's very close to Krishna. So Krishna puts his head on his lap and lays on the beds that Vrindadevi has prepared. Other times, the cowherd boys themselves prepare the beds for Krishna. And as Krishna is sleeping, the cowherd boys begin to sing him songs. They'll sing songs generally glorifying Krishna. Other times, they'll sing songs about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. Some will be fanning him, some will be massaging him. And Krishna often, in order to give every cowherd boy the experience of tending him as he's laying on his natural bed, he can expand himself so that each cowherd boy has an opportunity to render service. So there'll be unlimited Krishnas laying on unlimited beds, all taking service from the devotees. In this way, you can be sure that Krishna will satisfy you. So, how do we get into the forest of Vrindavan? I don't know if I want to come out. Lord Chaitanya, with his associates during the day, would have his feelings of separation from Krishna mitigated. But at night, as Kaviraj Goswami says, at nighttime in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya's behavior resembled wild, mad, insane performances of separation from Krishna, in which he would often leave his room, the Gambira, and you would find him in the ocean, but you'd find him wandering around in Jagannath Puri. Because his mind was always feeling Vrindavan, he would often mistake parks in Jagannath Puri for Vrindavan. He would mistake the sand dunes on the beach for Govardhan Hill. So, in other words, his mind is so absorbed in Vrindavan consciousness that wherever he would look, he would see a Vrindavan. That's why Gadadhar Pandit told Lord Chaitanya, why are you trying to go to Vrindavan? In one sense, there's no need. Because in your mind, the pastimes of Vrindavan are spontaneously taking place always. But you're trying to go to Vrindavan just to set the example for ordinary people, to show them that they should visit the Holy Dham. But you yourself don't need to go. Moramana Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya described. My mind is simply Vrindavan pastimes. And what is the heart of Lord Chaitanya? Sometimes devotees ask me, what's going on in Lord Chaitanya's heart? That's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Lord Chaitanya's heart are the emotions of Srimati Radharani. Particularly the emotions of Srimati Radharani that Uddhava found when he visited Vrindavan to deliver the message from Krishna. This is a great honor bestowed upon Uddhava, because not only was he delivering a message to Krishna's dearest devotees, but he would have the first-hand opportunity to study the love in separation by Krishna's dearest devotees. Tactically, this was a shrewd maneuver by Krishna from a tactical viewpoint, because everyone respected Uddhava as Mantri Raj, the king of the counselors, the topmost counselor. So much so, he was such a topmost counselor that Krishna would say, okay, be my mentor. That's how great Uddhava was. So Krishna thought, if I send Uddhava to Vrindavan and he comes back with a report about spontaneous ecstatic love, the residents of Mathura and Dwarka, they'll believe him because it's Uddhava. And in this way, they can hear about the glories of the Brijvasi's pure love. So that was the tactical reason why Krishna sent Uddhava. The main reason, of course, is that Krishna wanted to bless Uddhava with a vision of love and separation in Vrindavan. So what Uddhava saw in Krishna's intimate devotees, particularly in Srimati Radharani, that is the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now you're seeing that heart go through the feelings of separation. As Srila Prabhupada writes in one earlier purport in this chapter, Lord Chaitanya's state of mind brought him the atmosphere of Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill, and thus he enjoyed the transcendental bliss of separation and meeting. The Lord Chaitanya is showing you the extreme limits available in bhakti yoga. Now we might say, well, this is all so far beyond us. What's the use in ever considering it? Here we are struggling. But by hearing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes of separation from Krishna, you gradually start to understand what are real relationships. Real relationships are with Krishna. Real relationships are with devotees who inspire you to relate to Krishna. Relating to Krishna means relating to devotional service. So your whole heart's quest for relationships in this world becomes satisfied and inspired by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because in everyone's heart, they want intimacy. And bhakti yoga is full on about intimacy. But intimacy for qualified persons. Not intimacy willy-nilly, without any kind of proper protocol, without any kind of proper qualification, preparation. So let us face the facts that in our hearts, we want intimacy. That's why sometimes even people say, Better to have a bad relationship than no relationship. Someone once told me this, that better to be with someone that you're always fighting with than not to be with someone at all. Because at least when you're always fighting, there's some kind of rust, some kind of taste, you know? The worst thing is to be alone. Of course, the ideal is to be with someone who you're always going to be happy with, but you know, anger and quarreling is also a rasa. And so there has to be some juice in your life. Get it somehow. But the worst thing is a life with no juice. By hearing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, you see what the real standard is for loving exchanges. Lord Chaitanya was always feeling separation from Krishna, and his associates knew how to deal with that mood. They knew when to increase it and when to bring Lord Chaitanya out of it. They were this is perfection. They're showing that the purpose of the devotee association is to inspire love of Krishna, inspire Krishna's service. So a friend indeed in bhakti is a friend who knows how to increase your serving capacity, to increase your capacity for remembering Krishna. That is a friend indeed. So we can take inspiration from Lord Chaitanya's confidential leelas, even in our ordinary relationships with devotees. So once again, let us remember that these symptoms are all described in Nectar of Devotion, and they're called vivachari, destructive symptoms, 33 of them, but they're about the heights of ecstatic love. There's no mundane pain, there's no material suffering in them. It's just that the love is so strong. This is real love. It's so strong that it apparently manifests in these destructive symptoms. As Lord Chaitanya is speaking in this chapter, the mood of Srimati Radharani, I have the disease of love of Krishna. I'm suffering in separation from Krishna. But the only doctor for this disease is Krishna. Look at my situation. I'm suffering because of separation from this person, but that person I'm separated from is the only doctor for the disease I have. What am I going to do? These are the heights of bhakti ecstasy. And finally, we may think that, how does this relate to us? Well, just by hearing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, your heart becomes purified and you begin to remember your original constitutional position. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami kindly explains that although Lord Chaitanya's feelings of separation from Krishna, his activities in the last 12 years of his appearance in Jayapur, they're like an unlimited ocean. If you can just taste one drop of that ocean, that one drop is enough to drown all the three worlds. So we admit, you know, the expanse of the ocean is beyond us. The ocean of Lord Chaitanya's feelings of separation. But Kaviraj Goswami has assured us, just taste one drop. That one drop can not only drown you, but all the three worlds. This is the potency and power in what we are dealing with. We'll stop here.